Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey guys, this is Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. We're here with my pal Steve Agee, who I've known for many, many years.
True.
Who you might know from Superstore, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Sarah Silverman program.
Also true.
Yeah, what else would you when someone's like, hey, what do I know you from?
Those are the three. Or sometimes New Girl.
New Girl, yes, of course.
I was on a plane back from San Francisco just 2 days ago, and the flight attendant goes, is your name Steve? I go, yeah. She goes, did you play a homeless guy on, on New Girl? I go, yeah. And I wasn't even wearing glasses in that show. I was like, you know, really filthy and dirtied face. And she's like, I recognized your voice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You have a very, like, distinctive great
voice.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Thanks.
I had one of those on a plane where a man was like, he's like, what's your name? And I was like, oh, God. Matt Bronger. And he just handed me my wallet.
Oh, my God.
Because it fell out in the bathroom when I was taking a dump.
On a plane?
So it was like,
I thought
it was a moment of like, oh, actually, you might know me from such television shows. That, no, man, you took a shit. Here's your ID.
You know me from the rear lavatory.
Because you didn't look like your picture that much. Here.
Wow, you can.
You're the one taking a shit.
You can go number two on a plane?
Oh, yeah.
I cannot.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the most impressive part of this story.
Oh, because you're too tall?
You're so tall.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm eating my knees. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I hate it. I'm not like, oh boy, time to take a dump.
Yay. Word flight.
This is my time.
Seatbelt sign is off.
Yeah. Return to seat. But you were just talking about how you're doing
keto.
Keto now.
Yeah.
I almost said paleo. It's not paleo.
It's very similar.
Okay.
It's high protein, low carbs, even high fat.
Well, you're
no sugar.
Your third week now, you said.
Yeah, it's been almost three exact weeks.
And you were saying how your brain was crying out for sugar that first week where you couldn't have any sugar.
Which
any
is
carbs.
Crazy because I don't ever crave sugar, even though, and I never really was into it. Like,
yeah.
My thing has always been like, you know, savory.
Yes.
You know,
same.
Like pizza, not sugary stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that first week of. You know, I had no sugar, no carbs for 2 weeks, but the first 6 days was like my brain was nonstop. Like, hey, man, even though I could eat as much protein and vegetables as I wanted, so I was never full, my brain the whole time is like, hey, bud, where's the pizza? It's been like a couple days.
Yep.
And the day two, I went to a game night at a friend's house, and it was like the height of just my cravings.
Oh.
And they had four pizzas. Someone brought homemade cookies.
Fuck.
There were cupcakes.
Oh.
And, like, everyone had sodas. And, like, we were playing Mafia. And someone would say something to me. And I would often find myself just going, huh? What? Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't concentrate.
Those cookies were screaming my name.
So good.
I couldn't hear you.
For that, I hear that's when you can just, like, smell the food. Like,
oh,
you really can smell
you're
it.
You're hyper aware of
and
it.
And for the first week, you're kind of supposed to sort of be away from work and everyone because your brain doesn't function the same way right away.
The best thing was this was happening all close to and just after the holidays, so there wasn't a lot of work going on. So I literally did that junkie thing of like quitting cold turkey and just staying in my apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you have to do it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, no better way, but it's
I can't wean off this stuff. I can't wean off of...
No,
know.
There's no taking a nibble of a cookie to keep yourself going.
Yeah.
Or a potato chip, a nice salty potato chip. You're like, nope, I have to have the whole bag.
One chip. Like, that's when you know someone's a full-on sociopath. If they just have one potato chip and that's
good.
It for the evening.
They just dab the corners in their mouth.
Like,
that was delicious.
You're an alien. You just did that to fit in with us.
Yeah, totally.
You didn't enjoy that at all.
I'm going to play out the classic Hollywood female where you go and you buy a sleeve of Oreos and then you go over the trash can and you shove them in your mouth till you get the flavor and then you spit them out.
Oh, my God.
And then you take the new cookies and you shove them in your mouth, you spit it out, and then you pour water all over the spit out cookies in the trash can so you don't eat them again.
Wow.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Genius.
And yes, that is
I'm
a
glad
thing.
I didn't know I mean, about
you
that.
You get the, like,
you
yeah.
know what? It's like women are so much better at disgusting genius things. Because, like, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I remember being in college how my my college girlfriend and other female friends of mine would go to the movies, and they would get a bucket of popcorn and just get like 7 pumps, like an insane amount of butter, like where they put it, fill it up halfway with popcorn, a few pumps,
soggy,
fill it
pump.
Up, soggy yeah. it. Rip open a bag of peanut M&Ms, dump it in, and put some napkins over the top and shake it. So the chocolate and peanuts would melt in the hot butter. And every time you went in there, just yeah. this handful oh of sludgy God, butter. Man. I'm very sorry. You have to hear this.
No, it's I can now. I went to a birthday party, and there were 2 dozen Krispy Kremes right next to me where I was standing. Okay. All night, and it was just not even an
okay,
issue
good.
Anymore.
Well, it was just my thought at the time was like, you are doing something that a man would think of that's too gross for even a man.
Yeah, dude.
That even we're just like I can't. Listen, I'll dip my hot dog in ranch dressing, yeah, but yeah. That's too much. That's too much.
I draw the line.
Yeah, because
stoner cravings. Try PMS.
Yeah, no. yeah, absolutely. I give it to you. Well, I think it's also because it's just, you know, society is just kind of like, yeah, eat up, boys. You know, women, come on, hey, you should watch your ladylike figure.
Yeah.
And so there's that snap where a woman's just like, fuck this. I'm eating a pizza rolled up like a burrito, and I'm dipping it in blue cheese.
I wish I would have known about the Oreo trick, just spitting them out.
I'm glad you didn't.
I would have full-on been doing that.
Totally
like and rinsing my mouth with Coca-Cola and spitting that out.
Just wiping the enamel from your teeth.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good, man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that
congrats.
I'm over the hump.
Taking that step. There you go. And we just worked together on Superstore, which was
that's
a lot
right.
of fun.
That's right, and Matt was hilarious.
Thank you, dude. It was just fun.
That hasn't aired, right?
No.
No.
Uh-uh. It's such a fun...
Can you say what the role was that you did?
Yeah, I was a weirdo in the...
he's a weird customer.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a guy. He's a guy you can't tell he's a weirdo, but he's a weirdo. Like, he's...
there's, oh, no shit.
The episode, they're snowed in. Yeah, that bingo, yeah, bango, that's me. We're snowed in, and I'm just this guy who just says kind of crazy shit, and, like, it turns out I have, like... a mistress. And
it's a
like
dream. That. It's one of those dream parts where you're just like, oh, I get to play a fucking psycho.
Yeah, I can just say something deadpan that's completely insane.
Yeah.
And it was great that they let us improvise together.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So look forward to that. That might be out by the time this episode airs.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to do that? Let's do the first call. Let's answer some advice.
So, Matt, this is Rick. I have a question for you. So if you take a shit and then about, let's say, an hour or so later, you have to shit again, have you taken 2 shits? Or really, did you take 1 shit with like an hour and so pause between it? It's something I'm troubled by, and I don't know if you ever need to refer to one of those shits. Do they have their own identity at that point, or again, is it still just one? Love the show. Appreciate your input. Have a great day.
Shit with an intermission.
I love doing this show. Yeah, I mean, I think that's 2 shits. If there's an
definitely
hour and a half break, that's not the same. I mean, you can have this. Look, maybe you forced an intermission. The house was on fire. You had to run outside. And then your body, like, you know, hardened it inside of you or something for a while.
Yeah, we have to continue this.
It saved it.
Yeah.
I guess technically, if we're doing, you know, if we're going down to pure mathematics, maybe that's the same one. But to me, it's instance by instance.
For sure.
Yeah. Because it's like if you say, well, then what when you sit and you take it, and I'm very sorry, we're going to get gross. if you're taking the shit and, like, it comes out in... which it almost always does.
That's
many,
the definition
many,
of
many small.
Shit.
No, I'm saying like it comes out, which always does many small poops rather than one long snake. You know, that's
like
you don't call
pellets.
That. Yeah, you don't call that 17 shits.
No,
you know, you call that one. So I think it's
sit
by
sit down to stand up.
It's,
is
yes,
shit.
It's by instance. And speaking of shits, I was laughing today thinking of that bit you have about
wiping.
So good.
Front to back to front.
Yeah, it's this bit where he says, like, you know, he found out there are people who wipe front to...
Well, no, it's parents who are always, when they talk about potty training their kids, someone will always be like, oh, if it's a girl, make sure you teach them to wipe from front to back. And I'm just like, Shouldn't everybody be wiping front to back? I don't want shit on my balls.
And Steve just slowly keeps dragging it up his
drag
body.
Up the stomach.
We also had somebody very seriously call in for the Justin Willman episode. He's a magician asking, what's the proper way to wipe?
Yeah.
So
front to back, man.
Yeah.
You know what? The best thing I've bought in the past year, I bought it not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before, I bought myself a bidet toilet seat.
Wow.
Ooh.
Greatest thing I have ever purchased in my life
for
myself.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
What's the features you enjoy so much?
Heated toilet seat.
Oh, yeah.
Heated water.
Best.
Wow.
Different jet speeds.
Mm-hmm.
It has a blow dryer.
Now, let me ask you, have you gotten inured to the force of the, like,
I go all the way, baby.
Now you're full force.
Well, it's just two settings.
Oh, okay.
Normal and then it actually says turbo on it.
Turbo.
The first time I did it, well, the first time I sat down on the toilet to use this bidet, there's a wand that comes out after you're done pooping. You turn it on and the wand comes out and then it sprays up onto your bottom side. But I didn't realize you can adjust the wand how far forward or back it goes. And it was just set for all the way forward. So, like, it literally just turbo sprayed the back of my balls.
Yes, I've done that
and
accidentally.
And, like, fully hurt, too.
In a bidet. Yeah, I was like, these are terrible. Who would do this?
You have to aim it. You have to turn it on and get the aim right.
Yeah, set it for your butthole height.
Yeah,
and lower.
Height and length.
Height and
it's a mathematical science, mm-hmm. but once you dial it in, it is
pretty great. It's pretty
great. Oh, my God. And it's almost sexual. Like, almost. Like, it tickles.
There are nerves.
It feels great.
Buttholes have a lot of nerves.
I have a friend who says when he gets constipated, he'll sometimes sit down and turn the water on, and just the relaxing spray on his butt will help him go poop.
That's nice.
So... Yeah, you had two shits, dude.
Yeah, you had two.
Perfect. All right, so, hey, Matt. My name's Tony, and I got a bit of a conundrum. I don't really know what to do because I got to school this year for my sophomore year, and I lived across the street from an animal hospital, which I thought was, like, no big deal, obviously. But as the year went on, like, me and my roommates kept noticing, like, more and more barking, like, waking up at, like, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning to these dogs barking. And eventually I just, like, wanted to figure out what it was, so I walked over there, and I saw that they're keeping the dogs outside, which I think is very messed up. And I don't know if I should, like, tell the authorities, however, because I feel like, if I do that, it's just going to send these dogs to the shelter, which I don't think is helping them in any way. But they're already being kept outside, and I don't think they're being treated very well because they're barking all through the night and not being given almost any attention. So I don't really know what to do because I don't want to be the person that puts these dogs in a shelter and then eventually could even put them down. So I'm just wondering what you would think about this, because I don't even know, like, where to start. So let me know what you think. Thank you. And, hey, stay loose. Prepare for war.
It's referencing my old owl bit.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Tony. Jeez. I think, well, we got one thing on the show. We never Google anything. So I think. Just I'm telling Steve, folks, in case you're wondering who I'm talking to.
I know you.
Okay, cool. Well, Tony, I think you should Google if that is legal or not, because I don't think it's good. You don't think it's good. I think we're both right. That's fucked up to leave an animal outside all night long in unfamiliar surroundings. But it might be legal, so you could call the authorities, and they can do literally nothing. Also, it is an animal hospital, so those animals will be picked up.
Yeah, they should have owners.
Probably, like, soon, you know. But that sucks. And it sucks to be living across the street from it and just being woken up all the time by these sad, sad dogs.
Yeah, I feel like they do have owners if it's an animal hospital, so...
Yeah.
that's just a temporary place for them to stay. They should probably be indoors. I mean, it depends on, you know, if you live in Michigan and it's like 2 degrees
right.
out at night.
Right.
And also, what do their pens look like that they're staying in?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I mean, since it is a place where they have owners and they probably will be going back to their owners, I would probably call the ASPCA and have someone check the place out.
Perfect. Yeah. Call the ASPCA and just express your concerns and just say exactly what you said to us. And they will be much more equipped to help you. It wasn't until I moved to Los Angeles that I even heard the term animal hospital, because there's one that was
like a veterinarian.
Well, I'm expecting like a dog in like a lab coat and coming out. like there's a dog doctor.
Doctors and patients. Out. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a soap opera.
It's like monkey surgeons.
I want BoJack Horseman with that visual.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. But that's cool of you, man, to be concerned about the dogs in there and not be like, I wish they'd just shut the fuck up. You know, I don't know. I thought the question would be like, should I move or something like that?
I did
no,
too.
I love how he cares about the animals.
Definitely does.
Are you single? No, just kidding.
He's sophomore in college.
Oh, sophomore in college, just kidding. Sorry.
Hey, no, he's probably, who knows? He might be 18.
Yeah, he's probably 19 or 20.
Gives me hope for the future.
Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, Matt. I have a question about a girl I'm dating. So we've known each other for a little while, and I never asked her out because she'd always come and hang out with her ex-boyfriend, who they haven't been dating for like 8 years. But because of their relationship, I just kind of steered clear. But I finally got up the nerve to ask her, and we were going out, and it was going really good. But her ex found out and lost his mind, and she's really close with his mom, so
oh god,
they kind of got in her ear, and she almost broke it off with me. But we decided to keep going. But this weekend, he found out he didn't get invited to her birthday party, and I was, and got really mad. And then she broke it off with me again.
Jesus.
She said it was because of she was really stressed out in her personal life, and she had a mental breakdown, but I know it's because of him. So my question was, one, was I in the wrong to ask her out when her ex was still in the picture? And two, should I... she comes around again, should I pursue it or just steer clear? Yeah, thanks. Bye.
One, no, you were not wrong. That was her ex of 8 years.
8 years.
8 years.
8 years.
No, and two, I don't know, man. You don't sound that invested. I was about to say, like, if that's where your heart lies, sure, go after her and try to talk some sense into her. If everything you're giving me is all the information, and I hope it is. I'm not like throwing aspersions, you know, acting as if you're leaving things out. I don't think you are, but it doesn't sound like you're that invested. So I think in a sense you probably dodged a bullet, man. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah. You know, when I was in my 20s, I started dating this girl who I had a huge crush on, and, she was single. She had an ex. But they'd been broken up for a while, like probably a year at least.
Uh-huh.
And we started dating, but she wouldn't tell anybody. Like, we wouldn't go out in public because she didn't want to hurt her ex's feelings.
Jesus.
So that didn't last very long. And, looking back now, I'm glad it didn't last very long because that hurt my feelings. I was like, oh, okay. You'd rather spare the feelings of someone you are not in a relationship with.
Yeah.
See you later. It's you're better off not dealing with that until at least she's ready. Sounds like he has, you know, larger issues. Like, he's not over her. But
yeah.
That was something that I dealt with for, you know, like 6 months, and finally it was just like, okay, this is done.
You gotta get the face the situation and have more of a dialogue where it's kind of like, obviously you want the comfort of someone that's known you that long, but if it's not working out, you should probably get the fuck on, like, leave. Both of you break ties. Stay friendly, but don't hang out all the goddamn time, because that will ruin any kind of potential for either one of you to have a relationship. And it's like, yeah, we all want comfort and stuff and to have some, oh, but they know me so well. No one, it's like, yeah, but they're in the way of any kind of future relationship happiness you could possibly have. There's so many people that have relationships like that, where I've had relationships like that, like relationships of convenience or yeah, you know, just based on hooking up occasionally or whatever. Yeah. And you're just kind of setting yourself up for failure with anyone else who you could have something better with. I mean, just the fact when he was like, yeah, her ex was hanging out with her, they've been broken for 8 years, but he was just there. Like,
he's not over her.
Why?
If he has a problem, if they haven't been dating in 8 years and he is upset with her dating you, who is he going to be okay with her dating? Nobody except for himself.
What's she going to say to, like, look, don't freak out. Don't freak out, Glenn. But I met someone. What? Are you guys? No, listen. He works as a clown and he makes me laugh and we never have sex. We just high five a lot.
High five.
Okay, in that case.
That's cool.
That won't.
No sex, okay.
No sex, cool. Can we hang out all of this weekend, though, just you and me? Yes, Glenn, of course. That's totally
healthy.
Because
I bet you if this quote-unquote Glenn started dating somebody, he would have fucking no problem with it.
No, like, nothing, none. Because
hey, you can't date that guy. Oh shit! I just met a girl. Never mind.
Yeah, and I met this girl, and it's so cool. But like, I still feel like it's weird if you date people. You know what I mean? Like that's that dude's heart of hearts. You know it is.
Yeah, if she's catering to an ex-boyfriend over you, then
no.
I'd say just go move on.
Yeah, man, you made it out of a what would have been a really bad situation.
Yeah,
yeah, you'll look back on this.
I have to say too, something that you two haven't brought up yet is she's clearly not over him either.
Oh right.
By the way,
yeah,
because he had mentioned she had a mental breakdown. Well, of course you do. You're in like a very codependent, toxic, possessive relationship with your ex-boyfriend, and if they're hanging out all the time and like she's not over him at all.
Yeah.
Like
no,
I mean, she might be a little bit, or it was toxic, and that's why they're not together. But I mean, you can't be in a relationship with somebody if they aren't significantly over their ex.
Absolutely,
and she is not significantly over her ex. Like
I would be surprised, and forgive me if this hurts your feelings, but I would be surprised if her and her ex were still not occasionally hooking up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
For him to be possessive
for
like
8 years?
That.
8 years?
Yeah. And for her to be falling apart.
Yeah, part
know?
Of him is like, tell him what we did. Tell him what we did 2 weeks ago. We kissed or whatever. You know,
yeah.
And it's for her. I mean, I really hope she didn't have an actual mental breakdown. I hope she was kind of being dramatic. Like, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I said to my therapist, I was just like, oh, I find myself, because I was waiting on something. And I was like, I find myself, anytime I open my email, I have like a panic attack. He's like, what? I'm like, no, not really, man. I just feel anxious. He's like, don't throw that term around, please. And I'm like, you're right. I shouldn't. We throw that term around like it's, you know, it's nothing, but it's such a horrifying, serious thing.
Yeah.
But I think, so hopefully my point is, hopefully she did not have an actual mental breakdown, but for her to think she can just have that situation and things they'll somehow work out. Is almost, it's like draining a whole glass of grain alcohol and hoping you won't be fucked up. It's just being like, no, I'll be, why is there puke on my shirt? It's like, because of course you're having horrific anxiety and you don't know which way to turn. You set yourself up in this horrible situation.
Yeah.
Not that she's entirely the only one, not that she's the only one at fault at all, but it's just like, you can't. Of course, she had some kind of episode or something where everything was just feeling horrible.
Yeah, if you have a possessive ex and you didn't come to, I mean,
8 years.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
Yeah,
that's two seasons of high school. That's like going to high school twice.
Seasons.
That's like high school and college.
Yeah, it is. That's a better
that's
way to put
high
it.
High school and college.
You said it better.
Oh, yeah,
way better way to say it.
The other thing too, like because. coming from via her since I was in a toxic marriage is when you're in it too, you don't realize it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So she was like, she's like trying That's to branch normal. Out and be independent and not invite him to her birthday. And then he gets really upset and angry. And now you have all that history of what upset and angry is.
Yeah.
And that like, and she doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
And so like, that's, you just like, the best thing to do is to give her space.
Yes. I mean, she's basically like, you know, I think it's fine if I just don't invite him to my birthday. I don't think he'll notice. Yeah. Cut to the birthday party. He's out in the rain screaming like the dude in School Ties. Like Brendan, what's his name? Just screaming, cowards! He heard I had a party. Oh.
It's just like every window, everybody starts seeing his face pop up in every window.
What's up?
Like, wait, where is he now?
Oh, I thought I'd return this Reese's peanut butter cup wrapper left in my car. Oh, is now a bad time? I thought you'd want this memento.
Oh my God. I had an ex do that with dog food.
Fuck.
See, that's my new boyfriend. Crazy. And the ex came in. It was like old dog food from like months old.
Oh,
there was
God.
Like maybe three cups in the bottom. And he was standing outside of my door with this dog food bag. I mean, like, I got a pee and I had your dog food and I was like, nope.
Thought you might want a kiss. Get yeah. out of here.
Spare yourself the drama, dude. Let her figure it out with someone else.
One of my all-time favorite lines from Anchorman is Koechner, where he's like, thought you and I could go on a date, have some chicken, maybe some sex.
Yes. See what happens.
See what happens.
So stupid. So stupid and so stupid and male.
Yeah.
Okay, let's. So good. You made it out of Shawshank, to paraphrase Dave Chappelle, dude. So, yeah.
Hey, dipshit. I'm driving around in my leased car. I got less than 2 months to go until I return this thing, and my change oil light just went on. What would you do? Would you change the oil like a good human being, or just let that shit ride and turn it in with low oil? Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
I mean, knowing me, I'd let it ride.
I know you'd let it ride. I'm just looking at you.
Cut to me at the service station with a blown out engine, though, saying, when was the last time you put oil in this thing?
The hood of the car is stained black from the oil smoke that's coming out of the inside of the engine block. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? To be safe, to not violate the terms of my lease, I would change the oil. I would have the oil changed because it was like, because I'm that person that I'm a bit of a worry wart, and I think of like I've put myself in situations where I've just let something go too long, and then, oh no, you know, now you owe us $2,000 because you harmed the engine or something like that.
I probably wouldn't even change it. If I did anything, I would just go like to the gas station, buy like 2 quarts of oil. And just put it in.
Just dump more oil in?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that. I mean, my
thing. It's change oil, right? Not the low, the oil, like it's low, right? It says change.
Change.
Oil. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I think. It costs you like, what, $30 to get oil change or something? I would.
It's cheap.
I would do it and don't even look at, don't even, I'm not even saying from the perspective of it being like, you could get, you know, hey, you know, don't be a good person, change your oil. It's just like, think about your lease terms. You could kind of fuck yourself because they're literally looking for any reason to charge you for shit. That's how they make their money.
So I would be that person who wants to do good, but is like just broke enough where you go to Jiffy Lube and you know they have the different levels. So you have like the $30 level and then you have the $20 level and then you have like the $13
cheapest
level.
Cheapest oil change.
I would do the 13.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
I would be like, hey.
Yeah. And it's not as if the dealership or the car company gives a shit about you. It's not as if, look, you're not doing that stunt in Jackass where they rented a car and took it to the Crash 'Em Up Derby, and they drove it back with all the windows kicked in.
I forgot about that.
Bring it on
that
the back
so
of a flatbed truck, too. I don't think it was even
it
running.
It wasn't even running. They couldn't even drive it anymore. So great. Yeah, I mean, you do oil change, but yeah, bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
Bare minimum, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
just get the cheapest one. And when the mechanic inevitably is like, well, you're also going to need
new air filter.
Nope. Nothing. As long as I can ride it off the lot, I'm good. I'm fine. Ugh. Yeah, we're all done. Is there anything you want to plug, man?
No.
Anything coming up?
No, I have a podcast as well. It's called We're No Doctors. I do it with Busy Phillips. She's occasionally involved now that she has a TV show. So
sure.
She's
become her namesake for sure.
But it's all medical issues related stuff. And yeah, We're No Doctors.
Awesome. Yeah, check out We're No Doctors. The phone number to call for advice from a dipshit, if you want some advice from said dipshit, 323-763-0228. The Patreon is at Advice From A Dipshit. Throw us some bucks to keep the thing moving and grooving. We're trying to go on the road, so that will really help. You can listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere. Please pass it on. I always say this, but I don't see any of you guys tweet about it or say, hey, I really love the show. Matt's handsome and the man is super good looking. Like, yeah, you never talk about
the love.
No, but please do, because we're trying to get the word out, and it's, you know, I got a PR guy working on it, and it's great, but it's just hard to get, you know, more people learn about it. The more I find out, they're like, oh, fuck, that's exactly what I'm looking for, because it's only a half an hour. We have a lot of fun. Sometimes it helps people. Who knows? You know, if you want to know if you're taking one or two shits.
I love getting those calls. Yeah. When people call in and are telling us that they took the advice or they have like a segment to it or mm-hmm. addition to it, I love those questions. Like, I will replay them, or if it just was a positive
sure.
interaction for you. Like, I don't mind making episodes where we play those back,
right?
Because people really, and I love hearing it.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It keeps you going. Social media, we're at Advice From A Dipshit on Facebook, at Dipshit Advice on Twitter.
Although
theme song.
Really using Twitter.
What's that?
I'm sorry, everybody. We're not doing Twitter.
Not too much.
No,
it's a hellscape.
Maybe like if you guys wanted to like give me quotes of stuff that you thought was really great,
mm-hmm.
I will put it on Twitter and I'll give you the credit for it.
Sure.
But otherwise, like,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But I'm down to do that though.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. That was Advice From A Dipshit on Instagram too. So check us out there. We had a lot of people checking us out on there, learning about us on there. Theme song is by Ben Wise. Subscribe, write a fun review. I'm on tour. You can go to mattbronger.com. I just added a bunch of dates, so you can check out If I'm Coming to Your Neck, Oh, the Woods. And if you want to see me, or especially want to see Advice From A Dipshit in your town, talk to your local venue. Reach out. My representatives are on my website, or you can reach out to Amanda and let her know. So thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it. Steve, it's been a real pleasure, and I'm glad the crack cravings. Ghosts of sugar aren't screaming in your ears anymore.
Thanks, dipshit.
That's cool. You got it.
I love that.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.